धारी गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी जय राधा माधव कुंजा बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya So this morning we are studying Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 3 Chapter 1 and verse number 32 What it goes to Chintamani or no? Kachid buddha swastya namiva Kachid buddha swastya namiva aste
Kachid buddha swastya namiva aste
Svapalka putro bhagavat papannaha
Svapalka putro bhagavat
papannaha Ya krishna padankita marga pamsushu
Ya krishna padankita
Acheshtata prema vibhinna dharaya
Acheshtata prema vibhinna
dharaya Please chant.
Yeah. Kaścid Buddha Swastya Nivase Sakal Kaputra Bhagavat Kapanya
Acheshtata prema vibhinna dharya Kachit buddha swasthya na nivaste Sakal kaputro bhagavat prapanna na Ya Krishna padam kita marga pamsushu Acheshtata prema vibhinna dharya Kachit buddha swastya na nivase Sakal kaputro bhagavat prapanna Ya Krishna padam kita marga pamsushu Acheshtata prema vibhinna dharya Thank you. Word to word. Kachit. Weather. Buddha. Very learned. Swasti. Well. Anamivaha. Faultless. Aste. Does exist. Shvapalka putraha. The son of Shvapalka Akrura. Bhagavat, regarding the personality of Godhead. Prapannaha, surrendered. Yeah. One who? Krishna, the Lord. Pada Ankita, marked with footprints. Marga, path. Palm Sushu, in the dust. Acheshtata. Exhibited. Prema Vibhinna. Lost in transcendental love. Dharya. Mental equilibrium. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Please tell me whether Akrura, the son of Shvapalka, is doing well. He is a faultless soul surrendered unto the personality of Godhead. He once lost his mental equilibrium due to his ecstasy of transcendental love and fell down on the dust of a road which was marked with the footprints of Lord Krishna. When Akrura came to Vrindavan in search of Krishna, he saw the footprints of the Lord on the dust of Nandagram and at once fell on them in ecstasy and of transcendental love. This ecstasy is possible for a devotee who is fully absorbed in incessant thoughts of Krishna. Such a pure devotee of the Lord is naturally faultless because he is always associated with the supremely pure personality of Godhead. Constant thought of the Lord is the antiseptic method for keeping oneself free from the infectious contamination of the material qualities. The pure devotee of the Lord is always in company with the Lord by thinking of him. Yet, in the particular context of time and place, the transcendental emotions take a different turn, and this breaks the mental equilibrium of the devotee. Lord Chaitanya displayed the typical example of transcendental ecstasy as we can understand from the life of this incarnation of God. So the subject matter for this morning's class is going to be absorption. Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport that we just read, "This ecstasy is possible for a devotee who is fully absorbed in incessant thoughts of Krishna." So here he's writing about Akura. This is what been asked by Vidura to Uddhava, how is Akura, this faultless devotee, doing? So we all are familiar with this pastime in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 10th canto, where Akura is going to Vrindavan to see Krishna. So we hear about his emotions, his thoughts. And here Prabhupada is writing, "This ecstasy is possible for a devotee who is fully absorbed in incessant thoughts of Krishna." Now, we'll be mistaken to think that Akura's thoughts, when he was told to go to Vrindavan, we'll be mistaken to think that that's when his absorption started. No, this is a whole lifetime of thinking. As we all know that Akura, well, starting with Kamsa, when Kamsa took over Mathura and he was told that he was going to be killed by the eighth son of Devaki, then he started his atrocities towards the other dynasty. And at a certain time, when he was like really like going wild, in the sense of like killing everybody, throwing people out of their houses and stuff like that, so most of the Yadu dynasty and other dynasty that were there, they fled from there. Prabhupada writes in the purport in the Krishna book, Yadu dynasty was scattered all over the country due to their fear of the atrocities of Kamsa. And some of them were even living in the caves of the mountains. So you can imagine what was going on. It seems like worse than probably what has happened in our history, in, let's say, in with Hitler or others, but it seems like a pretty bad situation where, and these were like great Kshatriyas that could fight, but things were so bad that they ran. Even we know that Rohini, one of Vasudeva's wives, was under the shelter of Nand Maharaj. But Akura stayed. And the reason that Akura stayed there, because he thought, one day, I'm going to see Krishna. If I stay here, if I go away, then maybe my chance will not be there to see Krishna. But one day I will see Krishna. So he stayed there and he was serving under Kamsa. He was serving under Kamsa, and believe me, Kamsa was, in the Krishna book it describes that sometimes, like there were his friends who would come and give some good advice to Kamsa, but Kamsa would not take it. And what would happen? They would become his worshippers. So I was thinking, I'm sure the fact that Akura stayed there and he was serving under Kamsa so good that Kamsa asked him to go and get Krishna and Balaram. That means he trusted him. And he told him, he was from the dynasty, but for at least since Krishna was born, so we're talking about around at least 10 years, he was serving under Kamsa. And so I was thinking, wow, I wonder what the other Yadu dynasty people thought about, other members thought, what was Akura doing there? And he was just, I mean, maybe they knew where what Akura was thinking. Maybe Akura told them, this is what I'm going to do. I don't know if any information is there. I didn't look at any commentaries by the acharyas or anything. But in my mind, I was thinking, oh, I wonder how the other members thought. But here, so Akura was serving. His whole mission or his whole heart's desire was that one day I will see Krishna. So I'm sure that he was probably thinking every single day, because Kamsa is not a very good boss to work under. And he must have so much trouble seeing what kind of cruel person he was. And so for him to have to work under, he must be thinking, oh Krishna, I'm just doing this to come so can I have your darshan. I can have your darshan. I'm sure so many times he must be thinking, okay, take it easy, take a deep breath, you're going to see Krishna sometime, you know, you're going to just keep on serving here. But it's interesting that his desire was to serve, was desire to see Krishna, but then what kind of situation, atmosphere, circumstance that he gets to see Krishna? Can you imagine? So the service he gets to see Krishna that he's looking forward to is that, oh, go get Krishna and bring him here so we can kill him. I'm like, wow, what a thing for Akura to go through. So you can see his absorption, I don't think so it started, at least it's my philosophical speculation, it didn't start from the day he was told that you go and get Krishna and Balaram. So in that chapter of Akura's feelings that Prabhupada is mentioning here, he saw the footprints of the Lord on the dust of Nandagram and then once fell on them in ecstasy of transcendental love. So these are Akura's feelings of anticipation in meeting Krishna. So that's what we hear. So he describes that he left in the morning and he got there in the evening. So I was thinking, I remember taking a tanga there before, and I don't think so. It took more than 2-3 hours or something. Does anybody remember from Mathura to Vrindavan taking a tanga?
2 hours.
2 hours, yeah. Yeah, that's what I kind of remember. So Akura is driving his chariot, and so it took him quite many hours to get there. So you can see he must be really totally absorbed, probably driving a little bit and then stopping or like spacing out, so to speak, you know. So yeah, it took him quite a long time to get there. Sukadeva Goswami says that as as you travel on the road, the great soul Akura felt tremendous devotion for the lotus-eyed personality of Godhead. Prabhupada writes I think it was in the Krishna book, that how Akura was very much meditating on Krishna's lotus eyes. Srimad Bhagavatam is so amazing that, you know, who wouldn't want to hear somebody's thoughts, you know, pure devotee's thoughts as they're going to see Krishna. I mean, we get to hear someone's inside their heart. So we hear about Krishna's thoughts. He's thinking, what pious deeds have I done? What severe austerities I have undergone. What worship performed or charity given so that today I will see Lord Keshava. And then he says, I'm just a materialistic person. How did I get to deserve this? I'm sure some of you, those who have seen, had darshan of Srila Prabhupada, must think that many times, that how fortunate you are that you were able to have his darshan, were able to see him, were able to receive deeds from him, or to be there. So he's thinking, oh, I'm just a materialistic person, absorbing sense gratification. How is that? But then he says, but enough of such thoughts. After all, even a fallen soul like me can have the chance to behold the infallible Supreme Lord. For one of the conditioned souls being swept along in the river of time is sometimes reached the shore. So he's thinking, well, maybe I don't have any qualification, but sometimes things happen by chance, you know. And then he says, but today all my sinful reactions have been eradicated, and my birth has become worthwhile. Since I will offer my obeisances to the Supreme Lord's lotus feet. Indeed, today King Kamsa has shown me extreme mercy by sending me to see the lotus feet of Lord Hari. So he's just appreciating his boss today. Like, wow, he's so kind that he chose me to send me to see, go and see Lord Hari. And these lotus feet, they're worshipped by great people like Brahma and Goddess of Fortune, Vaishnavas. And then he says something interesting. He says, upon those lotus feet, the Lord walks about the forest while herding the cows with his companions, and those feet are smeared with the kumkum from the gopi's breast. So here he is. He's actually, he's like an uncle in his family relation. He's like an uncle to Krishna. But he's thinking like that, about how those feet are smeared with the kumkum from the gopi's breast. These things he must have heard while he was in Mathura serving. All those stories were coming all to Mathura. Surely I shall see the face of Lord Mukunda. And then he gets very close to that face. That face, framed by his curly hair, is beautified by his attractive cheeks and nose, his smiling glances, and his reddish lotus eyes. Unfortunately, today we don't get to see Radhe Shyam, beautiful lotus face, but we can actually get in the mood of Akrura and have that anticipation that maybe tomorrow or day after tomorrow we're going to again see Shyam Sundar with his curly hair and his attractive cheeks and nose, smiling glances, and reddish lotus eyes. It says, the Supreme Lord Vishnu is the reservoir of all beauty, and he has come here to relieve the earth of her burden. There is no denying that my eyes will achieve the perfection of their existence. Today I shall certainly see him. Seeing him brings jubilation to all who have eyes, for he is the true beauty of the universe. And then he says, so he starts thinking about himself. And he says, the infallible Lord will not consider me an enemy, because he's going there to bring him to be killed. But you see his faith. He's saying, no, he will not consider me an enemy, even though Kamsa has sent me here as his messenger. Why does he say that? Feel that he's not going to see me that way, Because he says he witnesses both externally and internally all the endeavors of the conditioned soul's heart. So beautiful. So he has faith in his Lord Krishna that even though he's going to do such a unpalatable task for Kamsa, but no, he feels sure that no, he knows my heart. And here in the verse, he is described, he's a faultless soul surrendered unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So there is no fault in him. And then, first he was just meditating on his beauty, him going there. But then, he starts thinking about his interaction with him. He's going to have some interaction with Akura. Thus he will cast his smiling, affectionate glance upon me as I remain fixed with joined palms, fallen in obeisances at his feet. So although he's his uncle, and we see that in the Bhagavatam, such going beyond the Vedic custom, uncle would not do that. But here he is his devotee, and he's thinking, I'll join my palms and I'll offer my obeisances at his feet, and then he will cast his smiling, affectionate glance on me. And then recognizing me as an intimate friend and relative, Krishna will embrace me with his mighty arms, instantly sanctifying my body and diminishing to nil all my material bondage, which is due to fruitive activities. And then having been embraced by the all-famous Lord Krishna, I will humbly stand before him with bowed head and joined palms. He hasn't let go of his joined palms and bowed head, and he will address me. My dear Akura, at that very moment, my life's purpose will be fulfilled. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book that the devotees are always absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. And he says Akura was constantly thinking of Krishna's lotus eyes. So I'll pause here for a moment, and I'd like to ask a question from my very learned, realized Vaishnavas here. What does what do you aspire for? What kind of absorption? Okay, I got the question now. What kind of absorption do you aspire for as a sadhaka? Pandavinda Prabhu and then Akura Prabhu.
Bhagavatam verse 7.1.32, it says that anyone goes to spiritual world, absorption is the only way. Whether it's a kongsha or gopis or coward boys, anybody ever want to go to spiritual world, they have to have absorption.
So what is your... My question is because...
No, I'm coming to that. Uh-huh. But to come to that, the verse gives the explanation. Kama, desha, bhaya, sneha, jata, bhakti, sharemana, abeshu, abesh, this word. Abeshu to agam hitta bhavavata gatim gata. Whoever went there, that's how they went. In the Vishwanathacharya Thakur commentary, he says, try to see Krishna first philosophically. Then you will come to level of practically. Then you will be spontaneously. Abesh is spontaneous. It has to be cultivation first. First hearing, and then automatically, then we'll see practically Krishna, and then spontaneous absorption will come.
So what my question is again, what do you, Pran Govinda Prabhu, personally aspire to be absorbed in?
To be a servant of the servant of Prabhupada, right okay. now.
Thank you. Thank you, Prabhu. Akurana Prabhu.
I was thinking of the Bhagavad Gita, second chapter, verse 41, I think. Vyavasayat Makabud here. If there's one point of attention, that's the hallmark of the Buddhi Yoga or Bhakti Yoga. And but as far as what specific
aspiration,
you know, I mean, I'm not there yet that I know what kind of service I want to do, just that I want to clear the distractions that I still have, that I can chant the holy name and just think of and hear nothing else but the holy name. And
so your aspiration is that you pray that you be totally absorbed in the holy name.
Yes.
Thank you.
And Krishna will see me, you know, Bhaktisiddhanta says we're the seen, you know, I want him to see me.
Thank you.
Face to face.
I want to make something and offer it to Krishna.
You want to make something and offer to Krishna. Would you like to say what you would like to make so that you can be absorbed? What is that something that you would like to make that you can be actually absorbed in that?
It probably has to do with clay or writing.
Clay or?
Or writing.
Or writing, okay. May I ask you, Prabhu, what you would like to write?
Poetry.
Would you like to write poetry about something specific?
Not sure.
So something that you are going to get absorbed in thinking what you want to do for Krishna. Yeah. Thank you. Divyanga Prabhu.
Thank you. I like the mood of Lord Nityananda and Haridas going down the street. Mm-hmm. And they're always in trouble, you know, people are chasing them, throwing stuff at them. And I can relate to that. I pray, especially when I go out every day, please, Lord Nityananda, Akrota Paramananda Nityananda Roy. He doesn't have any anger. And me, as an Irish person, has a lot of anger. And so I have to push back on that a lot. So I pray for the mercy of Gornitai and Haridas Thakur that when I go out on the street, that I can have humility and compassion.
Thank you. So it's a nice absorption you have as you go out and do your service every day. Thank you. Yes, Ananda Vrindavan.
My absorbed, how that word?
Aspiration. What do you like?
That in this lifetime, that this is end for me. And praying and hoping that I can go back home, back to God in this lifetime.
And how would you like to go back to God? And how would you like to go back to God? And maybe by singing and dancing in front of Radha Shyam?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, Amrita.
Radha Keshwar just volunteered me to share.
You're smart.
This is hitting so home. Thank you for this wonderful class. I just have two things. One is...
Put your microphone close to
your... Okay. I feel very encouraged and inspired to encourage Krishna's children, to feel like whole people who have unique gifts and talents that they can offer to the world and to Krishna. So I really would like to help in that way. Help them feel supported. And I think something that I'm experiencing very heavily right now is this preoccupation with my disqualification. What I recognize is that it's a form of pride, actually, to be preoccupied with disqualification. And it keeps me from being present in the gifts of devotional service and in relationship to the Vaishnavas. And so I'm praying that Krishna, please help me to be absorbed on a level that is outside of myself, rather than being focused on what I'm lacking, which is ultimately selfish. So.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. That's very a very important point that you bring, Amrita Kaili, is self-absorption. I think that's what stops us from being absorbed in Krishna. Srila Prabhupada gives an example of an example. We heard about Akura, his absorption, and Srila Prabhupada gives a negative example, so to speak, in Krishna book, and what absorption is like. And at least that's what we can aspire for, but not in the negative way. It describes that he began to think of Krishna or Vishnu while sitting, while sleeping, while walking, while eating, while working, in all the situations of his life. His mind became so absorbed with the thought of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that indirectly he could see only Krishna or Vishnu around him. And this is absorption. This is whatever service, whether it's chanting and dancing or whether it's making something for Krishna or writing something for him or chanting. The idea is that we want to come to the stage of such absorption that while sitting, sleeping, walking, eating, working, whatever it may be, we're just thinking of Krishna. And then Prabhupada writes, unfortunately, although his mind, which is Kamsa's mind, was so absorbed in the thought of Krishna, he's not recognized as a devotee because he's Krishna's enemy. I've been thinking of this word absorbed since recently when Niranj Maharaj was visiting here. And he was at our place, and we were asking Maharaj, now that Srila Prabhupada was not doing his services of GBC and, you know, legal practice is down basically, low, and the kids have moved out, and etc. So we asked him, you know, if he has some instruction to give us how we should lead our life, you know, and he knows the health situation and everything. And so Maharaj didn't give us any, didn't say, okay, this is what you can do. But it's interesting what he said. He started talking about himself. And he said that, he said that what he did during COVID was, he said it was the best time. He was in Mayapur at that time. So for those couple of years, he wasn't traveling. And he was reading the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. And he said he was reading for 6 hours a day. And, reading it, you know, whatever was said, cross-referencing and this and that. And he said he was totally absorbed. And he used the word absorbed. And that just caught, that word caught my attention so much. And it's interesting that In this, you know, verse or purport, Prabhupada writes, use the word absorbed, and anywhere I'm reading now, this I see the word absorbed, you know, and you know how sometimes you start, and everywhere is so much absorption, and so when Maharaj said that, I thought, okay, I felt inspired, and I said to Sesha Prabhu, I said, maybe we can increase our reading. And so, you know, we take a few days a week and that we basically read and discuss and have Krishna Katha, and everything else is aside. The sad news is I'm not yet absorbed. I don't walk and sit and sleep and dream about what I read. No, that hasn't happened. But I would say what has happened, that I actually been enjoying reading, and I look forward to it, and I feel sad that it's the last day and we're back to doing what we have to do, other things. So no, it hasn't made me absorbed yet, but there's hope that there will be, that will happen, because Srila Prabhupada is saying for us to become absorbed. When I think about word absorbed, as I was reflecting on it more, especially after reading Akura's prayers, his thoughts, and what Prabhupada writes here in the purport, this breaks the mental equilibrium of the devotee. And the transcendental emotions that take a different turn. I was thinking absorption means emotions. Emotions have to be involved. Absorption is not an intellectual thing. If you're, Adhidev Prabhu, if you're going to sit down and write poetry, you're going to be absorbed and your emotions will be there as you're writing a poetry. Now, devotees are known as kavi. They write poetry, it's the emotions. Bhaktivinoda Thakur's bhajans are full of, our poetry is full of emotions. Narottam Das Thakur's, they're full of emotions. And so absorption means emotions. And like Pran Govinda Prabhu is saying, it's not some sentimental thing. It's rooted in philosophical understanding of Krishna, who he is as a person. It's a very important part. Otherwise, it will become sahajiyaism if we don't do it properly. But the fact is that it is emotions. Mr. Sain Prabhu was talking about the third verse yesterday from the Bhagavatam. Bhuvi bhavuka nigamakalpataru galitam phalam. It's relish Srimad Bhagavatam. And so it does mean we have to have emotions. And just like Amrita Kelly was saying, she realizes it's self-absorption that's stops her from her absorption in Krishna. And so that's the biggest, I think that's the biggest change that we need to make in our hearts, is this idea about self-absorption. And the only way we can, I think, release ourselves from self-absorption is that we get a higher taste and be absorbed in Krishna. I mean, when I was preparing for this class, I was thinking, wow, what am I absorbed in all day long? It's like pathetic. And it's actually like, it's like useless stuff. It's trivial. It's like, it doesn't produce anything. Whereas if we're absorbed in our service, we're absorbed in some offering, we're absorbed in something. Giving class is just so good because it helps you to be absorbed in, because you're going to have to repeat what you're reading. You have to think about it. So good to give class. God, I was really missing out for all these years not giving it. I'm glad some of you just like pushed me into it. But it's so nice because you become absorbed in the Shastra. And hopefully, eventually, those emotions will come. Yesterday, Mr. Sain Prabhu gave such, when he started off the class, it was so beautiful. He was talking about, he described about people passing away, and he brought the Bhagavatam real for us, what it means when they're talking about, When Vidura is asking, how's so-and-so doing? How's so-and-so doing? How's so-and-so doing? And so he was asking, oh, how's Kalyapani doing? How's Nandakishore doing? How's so-and-so? How's, How's Sunita doing? Well, this is how we can become absorbed by putting our own self-absorption and being absorbed in the thoughts of Krishna. I'm going to end this class by something what Srila Prabhupada writes in regards to, he gives another example of how we can be absorbed. This is a positive example. Srila Prabhupada writes in the 10th canto, chapter 9, verse number 3, Dressed in a saffron yellow sari, with a belt tied upon her full hips, Mother Yashoda pulled on the churning rope, laboring considerably, her bangles and earrings moving and vibrating, and her whole body shaking. Because of her intense love for her child, her breasts were wet with milk, her face with its very beautiful eyebrows was wet with perspiration, and Malati flowers were falling from her hair. Prabhupada writes in the purport, anyone who desires to be Krishna conscious in motherly affection or parental affection should contemplate the bodily features of Mother Yashoda. It is not that one should desire to become like Yashoda, for this is Mayavad. Either in parental affection or conjugal love, friendship or servitorship, in any way, we must follow in the footsteps of the inhabitants of Vrindavan. Advanced devotees must cherish. I like the word he used here, cherish. Cherish is such a cherishable word, cherish. Devotees must cherish this description, always thinking of Mother Yashoda's features, how she was dressed, how she was working and perspiring, how beautifully the flowers were arranged in her hair, and so on. One should take advantage of the full description provided here by thinking of Mother Yashoda in maternal affection for Krishna. And again, repeating what Srila Prabhupada writes in today's purport, the transcendental, the pure devotee of the Lord is always in the company with the Lord by thinking of Him. Yet in particular context of time and place, the transcendental emotions take a different turn, and this breaks the mental equilibrium of the devotee. Lord Chaitanya displayed the typical example of transcendental ecstasy as we can understand from the life of this incarnation of God. Srila Prabhupada, this is the last thing I'll read. Srila Prabhupada, he gives a lecture in 1971, in a very early time in London, and he writes that we have to follow in the footprints of the Goswamis, 1971, just 5 years. We have to follow the footprints of the Goswamis and learn how to search out Krishna and Radharani in Vrindavan or within our hearts. That is the process of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's bhajan, of our worship, feelings of separation. This is because, I read that because Srila Prabhupada is writing about Lord Chaitanya. He's the typical example of transcendental ecstasy. So Srila Prabhupada is saying that this was, I think, on Radharani's appearance day. Feeling separation from Krishna, Mahaprabhu would fall into the sea. He would go out of his bedroom in the dead of night. Nobody knew where he had gone. He was searching for Krishna. The more you feel separation from Krishna, you should understand that you're advancing. Don't try to see Krishna artificially. Be advanced in feeling, be advanced in separation feeling, and then it will be perfect. That is the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Any comments? Questions?
Haribol, did a very nice class.
Thank you.
So, one thing about absorption is always going to be sort of adhikar specific. Like you're saying, we cannot force artificially absorption. So many of our acharyas, they've given a definition of how the absorption will come naturally. So the first absorption will be in faith, that's the doshradha, and then faith in a sadhu, and there'll be absorption in that sadhu and their teachings. They will teach us how to do bhajan, and the first absorption will be in the bhajan, in Harinam, Harikatha, in Mangalarati, and all of these things, there'll be some absorption. The kriya, in the word bhajan kriya, the power from doing those things is actually Swarup Shakti. That Swarup Shakti is what will clear anarthas. Then in the stage of nishta, the heart will be placid. At that time, when there's chanting or hearing Harikatha, the Harikatha will become very tasteful. So the first level of absorption will really be in ruchi, that there'll be so much taste for chanting, the process of bhajan life, etc. When that becomes mature, that ruchi turns into absorption in the object of the practice. It's called bhajaniya. That's the stage of asakti. At that stage, you can only wait for the descent of Swarup Shakti. Swarup Shakti will give actual absorption of the Atma in true transcendence. So absorption is like an adhikar specific thing. So as Prana Govinda Prabhu mentioned, the real first emotional absorption will come in our feelings towards Guru, because we don't have experience directly. I can't say for all, and I'll speak for myself, of Mahaprabhu or Radha Krishna. But I've seen Srila Prabhupada, I've seen my own Guru Parapadma, and their love and affection is the first experience of unconditional love. Nobody has loved us like that. So absorption will be emotionally how they saved me, how they taught me, and this will give emotional content to your practice. So if you'll come from Mangalarti and sing Guru Astakam, it'll be the first time you actually cry, because you reflect not on Radha Krishna, I have not realized it, but I did see my Guru, how affectionate he or she was, how they taught me, how they chastised me and corrected me. So that emotion will flow from your heart. This becomes the first absorption, and it starts to grow progressively and organically through the process.
Thank you. Thank you very much for that clear explanation. Any other thoughts, questions? Prana Govinda Prabhu?
This Akura past tense has many, but I'll just say one key point. I remember many years back I read Sanatana Goswami part, Dasamiti Pani on Akuras, and many points. One point was, you narrated very nicely, I appreciate that. He said, we may not be grateful in every situation. Every situation cannot be grateful, may not be grateful. But we can remain grateful in every situation. And one key was, when Kongsu actually ordered him, that was the Ekadashi day. I still remember, Krishna reminded. And Kongsu, Akrura was thinking, I'm going to bring my Lord, so Kongsu are going to do this whole wrestling arena and killing. He felt horrible. He said, this is not good. Maybe the Lord will send somebody to deprive me. No, don't go.
Oh, wow.
So that's why he stayed up whole night. He did the Nirjala whole night, Ekadashi. But then nobody showed up. So in the early morning he left. Next day, early morning on Dadashi day, he left. And then, of course, you may say, well, it's enemy, Kongsa. But he actually went to Kongsa and appreciated him. Because in his heart he was thinking, it takes millions of lives to meet the Lord. By his mercy, he is sending me to meet the Lord. So he became the biomedia to finally meet my Ishtadev, beloved Krishna. So he went there. Another thing also, I'm trying to squeeze it. Another thing was that the chariot that Kongsho made, it was 10 times better than Kongsho's own chariot. Kongsho thought, I am trapping because Akrura can bring him. I know he has some relationship with Nanda Maharaj's family. He can bring him. So if I, and Akrura has a one weakness, that he loves horse riding, chariot, all this. So I'll make a better chariot than me. So he put gold, diamond. It was like a beautiful chariot. And Akrura seeing the chariot better than Kongsho, he's thinking, wow. To bring the Lord has to be better than the king's chariot. So both are winning. Kongsho is thinking he's trapped, but Akrura is thinking he's the best man because he made the better chariot than his own self to invite the Lord. It was like a win-win situation. So he was actually appreciating Kongsho. Thank you for sending me. You are always looking after my... I'll try to do my best following your order.
So nice.
Actually, and the last, maybe I'll just add
please,
one
go
last
ahead.
Point.
Yeah, yes.
Because when he actually crossed the Jamuna, there's a beautiful verse, you know that verse. Jadrishi, Jadrishi, Bhavana, Jasya, Siddhir, Bhavati, Tadrishi. Whatever we do meditation during our bhajan, right now we are coming Mangalarti, chanting every day, we have to be very careful. What we are meditating during the chanting, the attraction, affection, feeling for Guru, Krishna, Vaishnavas, this will fructify one day. If we are not focused very much how to please the devotee and Guru, Krishna, then if we are contemplating on our non-devotional, I don't want to go further on that, but it is dangerous because whatever he thought, that's why it took whole day. He arrived in the evening because he was thinking, by the time I will arrive, he will be going to Goshala for milking cow. Exactly this is how it happened. So he was creating, through his meditation, through absorption, what he would like to see. And Krishna, through Jogamaya, manifested that. So there's a very, even Narottam Das Thakur wrote a song, Sadhane Bhavive Jaha Siddhite Paive Taha. What you think during your chanting, during your sadhana, in ultimate receiving the gift of your life, Vastu Siddhi. This is sort of Siddhi to Vastu Siddhi, meeting Krishna finally. This is will happen. So we have to be very, very careful.
So our absorption, we're talking about absorption. So at least for the couple hours that we chant our rounds, at least for that time, that we should really pray and try our best that we can really hear the holy name. At least during that time, and for 2 hours, maybe not sitting and sleeping and doing this and that, but we can be absorbed. One little thing about, I've heard Radha Govinda Maharaj speaking on these class about Akrura's pastime, and he said that when he got the chariot, he was very careful. Akrura was, because his Lord is going to sit here, so he was very careful to sit very, like, gently. I don't know how you sit gently and get the horse going, but his meditation was, okay, I don't want to, it's an offering to the Lord, yeah? So you don't want to sit on there. So he very gently kind of sitting in a very small little space there to bring his Lord. Yeah. Nice absorption. Yes. You had some, yes, Ragatmika. Ragatmika.
Just one more thing about absorption. So we heard very nice things about Akrura, everything, how he prepared everything. But from our deepest level of absorption, in not really liking Akrura so much.
Because yeah, well, the gopis didn't like him.
No Brijabhastis will like Akrura. You understand? It was Akrura because he took Krishna from Vrindavan. All Brijabhastis' mood is that he's not Akrura, he's Krura. Cruel means very cruel. Yeah. So this is Bhidravasi's vision. So from our Sambandha Gyan that we'll get at the time of initiation, you have to have some vision. Our Kuru has many good qualities generally, but from our absorption and our aspirational goal to be Bhidravasis, we're not so happy with our Kuru.
Okay, so don't meditate on Akura.
Sorry. Actually, Akura, he did one thing wrong. He learned from him, according to Sanatana Goswami Pad.
He could have recognized Mother Yashoda and the gopis. He didn't have to, I mean, I'm not saying that he changed his plan, but he could have recognized and be sympathetic. We have to learn. All these songs that... the gopis, virahagi, oho vidata kavana prachidaya. These are like a very tangible for our life. So we learn from Akrura's life that he should be a little sensitive. Like if there is a senior devotee, even though I may be very, but I should be very respectful. He knows the gopis, Mother Yashoda, they are higher, but he should have been a little sensitive.
He definitely knew because he's writing, we see about his prayers, it talks about the gopis, Krishna's lotus feet were smeared with the dust from the gopis.
But he doesn't know though, Krishna actually son of Nanda and Yashoda. He doesn't believe that. He believes they're his son of Vasudeva and Devaki. So we are not exactly in his family.
We still offer our obeisances to Akuraji.
Thank you for a wonderful class. And everybody's contribution as well. Maybe it escaped me, or I spaced out, or was it in Krishna book, where you said that Akura chose to stay there in Mathura when everyone else was fleeing, mm-hmm. Because he has this intention, this aspiration. Mm-hmm. Where is that?
To see, to be honest.
Oh,
does Pundra,
okay. This is in the beginning of 41 chapter.
Prangavanapurva, can you?
That three types of devotees, some devotee left.
Yes,
from Mathura, some devotee stayed, like Uddhava, Akrura. Yeah. Is there? Is in Krishna book also, some devotee stayed.
Okay, but I like what you said, how his intention was to one day look
one day.
Forward to that, to somehow meeting Krishna.
Yeah, amazing.
You know, regarding the chariot, how exceedingly over the top it was. I have heard someone, tell me if anybody else heard this, and I don't remember who it was, saying that because Krishna and Balaram were young boys, just like any young boy is so attracted to, hey, if you come and pick him up in a sports car,
yeah.
or anything of that, you know, all decked out, they're not going to hesitate.
Yeah.
So that was something someone said once, and I don't remember who it was.
So funny about boys, how they are, speak, you know, like, they just love, like, my grandson is, what, 1.5 years, or not even 2, but all he sees is cars, like this car, that, yeah, I mean, I don't know what it is about the wheels and the Prabhupada said there are three things boys like, something with wheels, ball and a stick or something like that. Yeah, something I've heard like that. But yeah, Krishna and Balaram, they I guess they like their chariot. Anyway, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.